Hey everyone, welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Nate Vaughn. We're inside TCO Studios at Winter Park, coming off an exciting victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars, heading into a big game against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. That game is at noon at US Bank Stadium, which is an indoor stadium, which we're very happy about because it's freezing cold. Yes, it's freezing cold in Minnesota. It's cold like when you go out to your car in the parking lot, you are hoping it starts.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of people listening are Minnesotans, but a lot of people listening right now are not. And I don't think if you live south of Iowa, you don't understand that there are times in the winter when you literally hope your car, you're hoping your car starts. You're not sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's been sitting there all night. It gets colder at night. And if you get that car going in the morning, it's a good start to your day. As good as you can expect when you're freezing cold all day long.
You go out to your car and turn it on and your car just turns on. Like, it's not even in your mind that your car won't turn on most of the time. But when you get from December to February, December to March in Minnesota, not every day is like that. Your car might not start. That's where we are weather-wise in Minnesota. But the action is heating up in the NFL and for your Minnesota Vikings as we come down the stretch of the regular season. Lots of scoreboard watching to do. We're going to get to more of that later on in the Wobcast. For the time being, though, we're just worried about the Vikings and the Colts game. That game is Sunday noon, U.S. Bank Stadium. Make sure you catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network, where Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, and Ben Lieber will bring you the call. The pregame show on the Radio Network starts at 10. Of course, you also have Vikings Game Day Live on MyFox 9 locally here in Minnesota. That starts at 10. Nate and I will be in the stadium for that Vikings-Colts game.
Thankfully.
Yes, thankfully. Oh, yeah, one more thing I was going to say about that. I have a name for the effect of US Bank Stadium on a day like Sunday when it's going to be super cold and probably snowy. It's the reverse snow globe effect.
Interesting.
Because of the clear roof at US Bank Stadium, we're going to be inside and warm, but we're going to be looking out to winterland that is freezing and snowing. It's like reverse snow globe.
Interesting. Yeah, like a greenhouse, sort of. That's what that's going to be.
We're going to be very thankful for US Bank Stadium. We already are, but even more so on Sunday. Also, speaking of cold weather and cold weather games, Soldier Field this weekend, site of Packers-Bears.
Don't want to be there.
Wind chill, minus 30.
Oh.
Minus 30 wind chill at Soldier Field.
Oof. That's tough.
Yikes.
I mean, we know what that's like from last year.
Yeah, we do.
We went through that in the playoff game. I don't know what the wind chill exactly was, but the real temperature, I remember getting to the stadium and seeing the digital thermometer, if you will, on the side of the scoreboard at TCF Bank Stadium, and it said negative 10 degrees. And I was like, oh, this could be a long day.
Yeah, right. It was an awesome game with an awful outcome, and it was a long day, and it was cold. All right. We hope that everything is the opposite of that on Sunday when we play the Colts. So, Nate, we have five storylines that we want to briefly touch on before we get into the rest of the Wobcast. So let's get into it right now.
Storyline number one is our stifling pass defense, pass rush, and in the defensive backfield against their explosive passing attack, Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, and company.
Yeah, the Colts are really good at passing the ball. Andrew Luck can make every throw you would ever think of asking a quarterback to make. They have a really fast receiver in T.Y. Hilton. And Dante Moncrief is another good receiver they have. He probably will not play, but the T.Y. Hilton matchup in this game is interesting. He operates out of the slot. He operates out wide. Motion, shift, do all sorts of things with him. He's dangerous. And so the Colts can throw the ball around the yard, but the Vikings, as we know, are very good at stopping the pass. In fact, the Vikings are holding opponents to a passer rating of 77.0. That's the third best mark in the league. The Vikings are also getting after the passer. Their pass rush has come alive of late. If you remember, there was a little period during the season where teams were getting rid of the ball quickly and Vikings pass rush wasn't getting home. Well, that has changed in the last three games. Vikings have been getting after the passer. So I think the biggest matchup in this game is the Colts pass protection against the Vikings pass rush. That's a big matchup every week, but it's not always the biggest of the week. This week it is, I expect the Vikings defense to get plenty of opportunities to rush Andrew Luck this week because the Colts love to throw the ball deep, and Andrew Luck is not afraid to hold on to it and take a hit right before he throws or right as he throws. So the opportunities to rush the passer are going to be there. Hopefully that'll work out in our favor.
Speaking of throwing the ball deep, Sam Bradford and his wide receivers connected quite a bit last weekend on some of those deep plays. Storyline number two is, can Bradford and company stay explosive through the air?
And I had I guest host for Paul Allen this week, and Ben Lieber was one of my guests, and he said he thinks the Vikings offense may be onto something when it comes to explosive gains, and I hope that he's right about that. The Vikings had three passing plays of 40 or more yards against Jacksonville last week. Going into the game, they had four all season. So the Vikings passing offense turned it to a different gear in Jacksonville. Hopefully they can do that again here against the Colts. The Colts defense is okay. It's not great. It's been good enough to win a bunch of games, but the Vikings may have an opportunity to get over the top on this Colts defense as well.
Vikings 3-0 against the AFC South this year. Mm-hmm. Storyline number three is that a sweep of the AFC South would set up important back-to-back NFC North divisional games.
Yes. The Vikings are, as you said, they're 3-0 against the AFC North. If they win on Sunday, they'll be 4-0. That would be a sweep of the AFC North. You know, and if that happens, if the Vikings win on Sunday, they are squarely in the mix for playoff contention with 2 weeks to go. And both of those games, 2 weeks to go, two games remaining, both games are against another division, the NFC North. And so hopefully we can sweep the AFC North to set up some big games here down the stretch with two games to go. It's very easy to look ahead. In fact, we're going to completely look ahead later on in the Wobcast when we go over who you're rooting for and who you're rooting against and why. But let's take care of business here. Let's sweep the AFC South, which we all thought we could do before the season started, and then let's finish strong against the NFC North.
Storyline number four is the Vikings offensive line. From the beginning of the season to this point has been
in flux.
In flux is a good way to put it. Lots of different players in different positions, guys in, guys out. That's kind of where we still are. Who's in, who's out, and where are they on the Vikings offensive line?
Yeah, well, it's looking like Joe Berger's got a chance to return to the lineup after missing some time in the concussion protocol, but Brandon Fusco may be out after being hurt last week. So if Berger's back, that's great because we may need an extra body with Fusco likely being out. And so in some form or fashion, I think you're going to see Nick Easton and Brandon Fusco back. They both play center, but I think they're both going to play one at guard and one at center. That's my guess here as we record this on Thursday, still with 1.5 days to go of preparation before, you know, Mike Zimmer has to basically make that decision. So, you know, I think you're going to see another combination along this offensive line, Berger at guard, Easton at center. That's presuming Fusco can't go. If Fusco can go, then you may have a decision to make at center with Fusco and with Easton, or sorry, with Berger and with Easton. So anyway, the offensive line remains in flux. I think we're going to see a new combination this week. Give those guys credit, though. They've been tough all season, and they're coming off a game in which they allowed zero sacks. The fourth time this season our offensive line has allowed zero sacks in a game. Jacksonville blitzed us a bunch last week, so I think we also should credit the running backs and tight ends for helping in protection, because when teams blitz, you got to have an extra guy in to protect. It's usually a running back or a tight end, and they must have done a good job because Jacksonville had zero sacks.
Finally, the Vikings, as you mentioned, are trying to take care of their own business, but they also have one eye on the scoreboard and TV timeouts and whatnot.
Yeah.
So what teams are the Vikings rooting for this weekend besides themselves?
I think the toughest one to decide on is the Giants and Lions. They play each other. So, you know, obviously if the Lions lose, you're alive for a division title in a home playoff game. But the Giants are one of the teams the Vikings would like to fall back to the pack, because the Vikings can tie the Giants for a playoff spot and get in because they beat the Giants. So this is a little double-edged sword here on the Lions-Giants game. No matter what happens there, you can turn it into a positive, but you can also turn it into a negative. The big game, there are two real big games for the Vikings aside from their game with the Colts. One of them is Tampa Bay is at Dallas. The Vikings need Dallas to win that game. Tampa Bay is a team that can keep the Vikings out of the playoffs. They've won five straight. Their defense is playing awesome. They're one game ahead of us. We need Tampa to drop back, and they play at Dallas. So there's an opportunity for the Vikings to gain some ground. If they can beat the Colts, you have Tampa going to Dallas. Now, Tampa is capable of beating Dallas, but you certainly would favor Dallas in that matchup. The second game that's huge for the Vikings is on Monday night. It's Carolina and Washington. The Redskins are a half game ahead of the Vikings because of a tie that they had in London, and they beat the Vikings. So the Vikings need the Redskins to lose one game, and the Vikings will jump over the Redskins. So it would be awesome to see the Panthers upset the Redskins on Monday night. We're also, of course, hoping Atlanta loses, but they play at home to San Francisco, so there's virtually no chance of that happening. And the Bears are hosting the Packers. We'd love for the Packers to lose, although we are still ahead of the Packers, and we play them. So that game is not as vital, but it's always fun to see Green Bay lose.
In the cold.
Yes. Oof. As I said earlier, I was a fill-in host for PA on the 9 to Noon show on FM 100.3 KFAN. It was a lot of fun, and part of the bit that we did was we took a look around the NFC playoff picture. All the teams the Vikings are competing with or who are ahead of the Vikings in the playoff picture, we had a guest on from that market. So as an example, we had Bob Papa, who is the radio play-by-play guy for the New York Giants. We had him on. And we had Dan Miller on. He's the play-by-play guy for the Detroit Lions. I'd say they were two of my favorite guests in this little bit that we did as we surveyed the NFC playoff field. And so we're gonna play a little bit of that sound for you guys right now so you can hear the perspective that is the Giants' perspective and the Lions' perspective. The first one we have for you is Bob Papa, play-by-play voice of the New York Giants. Here's what he had to say about his team.
Giants radio play-by-play guy Bob Papa, also a host on SiriusXM NFL Radio, The Opening Drive, a program I like to listen to. Very thrilled to have Bob Papa on with us to chat some Giants. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
And thanks for listening to the other show.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I like to listen to as much as I can. This is the Vikings flagship, so my station is always on the Vikings flagship. But when it's not, I'm listening to SiriusXM NFL Radio. You guys do a great job, and it's fun to listen to you call games. Your counterpart here at the Vikings, this is his show, Paul Allen's show. I'm filling in for him. He's a good friend of ours. He does a great job as well, and it's a treat to listen to guys like you and Paul who know what you're doing call games on the radio. It sounds like you have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, we certainly do, and PA does a great job, no doubt about it, with the Vikings, and Vikings fans are lucky to have them. It's passion, really into it, love talking about the game, love talking about the entire league, not just the Giants, and I'm looking forward to this great playoff race here. It's going to be a lot of fun coming down the stretch.
Yeah, this is the stretch. Three games to go, Bob. Your team is 9-4, second place in the NFC East, currently the number 5 seed. Just beat Dallas in prime time with a great defensive performance, won 7 of the last 8. You've only lost twice since you were at U.S. Bank Stadium, Bob. Your team is hot.
Yeah, they're playing really well. That was a low watermark for them. They played horribly. But the Vikings at that point were playing really well. And look, you look at that game against the Vikings and the Giants got outplayed. I mean, I know you look at every game and you say it was a pass here, a pass there. Not so much that night.
Mm-hmm.
They got their doors, you know, blown off by the Vikings. But you're right, since then they've played a lot better. They're doing a lot better defensively. And it's interesting because, you know, with the Vikings limiting the Cowboys and really having a great opportunity to beat Dallas and then the Giants backing it up and beating them, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, the Vikings and the Giants, they have the blueprint. Yeah, everybody knows what to do, but you got to have the players to do it. And
yeah.
The Vikings have a really good front 7. The Giants have a really good defensive front, and both teams have really good cornerbacks and good secondary play. So you can talk about blueprint all you want, but it's still about players, not about scheme.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that leads me to one thing I wanted to bring up with you. You know, the Giants got a little splashy in free agency on the defensive side of the ball last offseason, and we've seen it a lot of times, Bob, being around the league as long as we have. A lot of times when you get splashy in free agency, it does not work out. But Olivier Vernon, 8 sacks, Janoris Jenkins, 3 picks, and a forced fumble, those guys are playing really well for the Giants.
Well, yeah, no question about it. And Damon Snacks Harrison is really the glue, the defensive tackle that they signed from the Jets. I mean, between those three guys, the Giants spent, you know, over $100 million. But those guys, not only are they really good players, but they've all come in and become leaders. And they go about it quietly. Not one of those three guys cares a blip about having any kind of spotlight shown on them. They'd rather just come to work, do their job, play football, and then leave sort of unnoticed. And it is rare that you bring three high-ticket free agents in, and they all give you high-end production. They all care about the game a lot. There's no BS about them. And then you throw in Keenan Robinson and Kelvin Shepherd, who they added, and Leon Hall in the secondary. Some other spare pieces, and it's been a very smart free agency period for the Giants.
Yeah, and then a guy that's homegrown is Landon Collins. I'm looking at him, 100 tackles, 5 picks, 3 sacks, a fumble recovery, and he's got a touchdown. I mean, this guy has come of age for the Giants, right?
Yeah, I mean, he leads all NFL safeties in tackles, interceptions, passes defended, and he's tied for the most sacks. For safeties. And it really is amazing the transformation of this guy from last year to this year. I mean, a lot of us were thinking, man, with Landon Collins, they might want to think about transitioning him to a linebacker, sort of like Thomas Davis in Carolina, because he's never going to make it as a safety. His ball skills are terrible. Well, I mean, it's like night and day, the way he's playing this year as compared to how he played last year. So I give him a lot of credit. He worked hard in the offseason. Lost some weight, and he's playing fantastic football.
Good for him. Eli Manning, 2-time Super Bowl winner. He's been the MVP in that game as well. How's he playing this season?
Been a rough go for Eli, especially over the last couple weeks. He has not played well. And I know that the offensive line is a big-time issue, and your listeners, Vikings fans, know when your offensive line isn't good, it creates a downhill effect of a lot of things to go bad. And Eli has rushed throws. I think his internal clock is off because he's been hit more this year, going back to the preseason, than I can ever remember him being hit. And I think there's times where he makes throws, he rushes throws, when he actually did have some time. With that said, there have been points in his career where he has these ebbs and flows, where he has these periods in which, you know, he's struggling with his game, and then suddenly it just, you know, something clicks and it starts to get turned around. So for those who want to write him off, I think you're making a big mistake. But the Giants need him to play better based on the way they're playing defense if they really hope to make a run in the postseason.
Yeah, you can't write Eli off. He's too tough mentally, and he's been through too many battles and come out on the right side of them. And he's got Odell Beckham Jr. What's it like calling games for him, Bob? Because I know, you know, being close with PA, what you got to put together depth chart-wise. I mean, your little spot for Odell Beckham Jr. on your depth chart for games, you got to have, like, an extra sheet of paper for him, I would think.
Yeah, it really is funny. I mean, I have a whole, like, manila card next to me with just Odell stuff.
I believe it.
It really is amazing what he's doing. I mean, he's doing things that no player has ever done in the history of the sport. You know, it's through his first 2 years of the season, now through his first 3 years in the season, he can pass a bunch of Randy Moss records. He can become the fastest. If he has 134 yards this week or more, he'll have gotten 4,000 receiving yards in just 41 career games. The NFL record is 42 games held by Lance Allworth. I mean, it's unbelievable. He leads the NFL in catches of over 50 yards and 60 yards since coming into the league in 2014. It's been amazing, and it's exciting because literally every time he touches the ball, your anxiety is up and you're saying to yourself, he could take this to the house.
Right. Like the one the other night against the Cowboys, that was an innocent-looking quick slant that he ended up scoring on.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, and he's done it like 3 times in the last 4 weeks with the same play. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just from the other side or whatever. That's when you know you're talented, is when everybody in the building knows what's going to happen and you still have success. Kind of like Michael Jordan in his prime, you know, late in the game. Everybody knew where the ball was going. Everybody knew that Jordan was going to do something with it. Everybody was prepared to stop him, yet you couldn't stop him. That's kind of how it is with Odell right now.
Yeah. Bob, can the Giants win? I mean, I know people are not talking about this maybe outside of New York because everyone looks at Dallas as you know, king of the hill. But can the Giants win the division?
Yeah, it's funny because in New York, it's not being talked about at all.
They're only two games back, and they've beaten them twice.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend. You know, I think this weekend is going to be fascinating because the Giants play against the Lions at 1 o'clock. The Cowboys play a night game against an improving Tampa team. So let's say the Giants beat the Lions to get to 10 wins, and Dallas struggles for a third game in a row offensively. And, you know, Tampa gashes in with a play here or a play there, and with 4 minutes to go in the game, Tampa's right there, and Tampa scores late and they win. So now Dallas has lost two in a row. Dallas is now all kinds of panic is setting in. Because now the specter of Romo now sits even bigger.
Yeah.
Now the Giants get the opportunity on a short week to play another game before Dallas has a game day. So the Giants theoretically then could go down to Philadelphia on Thursday, December the 22nd, I think it is. And if they beat the Eagles, can you imagine the pressure on the Cowboys that weekend with the Lions coming in,
mm-hmm.
that if they lose that game, they're actually tied with the Giants, which means the Giants have the lead.
Yeah, it's awesome. This is juicy, Bob. This is the final stretch of the NFL season, man. This is it. I mean, we beat the Jags last week, and we were talking about we need this, that. We got no help from anybody, including your team, so thanks for that. But, I mean, it made me want game day to be the next day already. I was ready to play the Colts on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of exciting because you start looking at all the permutations, you start doing all the math, you start saying what if, if this happens, you know, mm-hmm. you create these scenarios, and a lot of them are long range and highly unlikely. I don't think Dallas is losing their next two games, quite honestly. I think they're going to win one of these next two, and it's going to put this whole conversation to rest, but it is kind of fun to dream about it.
Yep, this is it. This is the final stretch. We look forward to this part of the season all year long when we're sitting there in May at mini camps in June and we're waiting for training camp to start in June and July. I mean, this is what we're waiting for and it's right here in front of us. Thanks for chatting it out and giving us a Giants perspective, Bob. I know you got a lot going on. Good luck this weekend. Hope you have a great game call, all right?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Wish you all of your listeners a Merry Christmas and give Paul Allen my best.
Okay, we will. Same to you, Bob. Thanks.
Bye.
Bob Papa is awesome. He's a host on Sirius XM NFL Radio, as well as being the Giants play-by-play guy. He knows the NFL inside and out, has been doing it for a long time. You can tell how smooth he is in that soundbite right there. So it was a pleasure to have Bob on, and he's calling games for a team that's on fire right now. Speaking of on fire, Dan Miller's Detroit Lions are on fire right now. They've won 8 of 9 games. They are in control of the NFC North. We had Dan on the 9 to Noon Project to talk about the Lions.
The Lions Radio Vox, you can find him at Twitter, at Dan Miller Fox 2, sports director and anchor at WJBK Fox 2 in Detroit. Dan Miller, one of the best in the biz at calling games on the radio, and we get to talk to him right now about the Lions. Hey, Dan, what's up, man?
Bobby, how you doing? Thanks for the kind words. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. I appreciate you coming on. Man, you guys have had a fun season. You know, listening to some of your highlights and calls this year, you guys have had some exciting games. You've been on the right end of a lot of close ones. I have to imagine this is one of your favorite seasons calling games.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, you know, as far as broadcaster, they've certainly given us a lot to work with. And if you're a fan, you know, you got to love being 9-4 at this point. But you've played 13 games. You were behind in the fourth quarter in 12 of them. You won 8 of those, which is a record for a quarterback. But, you know, while Stafford has been a big part of that, it's been this whole team. There have been defensive plays, special teams plays. It's really been up and down the board. They've had to have a lot of things go right late in games to get to this point. But, you know, when you're sitting there, nobody asks how you got there. It's just what do you do from here?
Mm-hmm. That's right. They don't ask how. They ask how many. Comeback Cats, right? Is it 8 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter this year?
Yep, it is yeah. 8 games. The only game that they've won that they didn't trail in the fourth quarter was in New Orleans a couple weeks ago. And, you know, other than that, you know, like I say, they've been behind in the fourth quarter and found a way to come back and win. And it's been a mix of, you know, different ways that they've gotten it done. Most of the credit goes to Matthew and probably deserved. He's done some amazing things this year. But They've had to be very, very clean in fourth quarters defensively and special teams and avoid penalties and avoid turnovers and get takeaways. And when you're cutting it that close, you don't have a lot of room for error, and that's really what they've been.
Yeah. Detroit tied for third fewest giveaways this season. Credit Matthew Stafford for that. But, Dan, one guy I want to bring up, Anquan Boldin, free agent signing, so good for you guys on third downs. 20 receptions on 30 targets on third downs, 17 of those 20 for a first down or a touchdown. Man, that guy's been good for you guys.
It's been huge. It really has. And, you know, it's not just on the field, it's off the field. And, you know, sometimes people say that and it's a cliche and they just throw it out there. This guy, his dedication to his profession and the way that he handles himself, other players have taken note. They really have. And I think they look at him and they say, you know what? I want to stick around a while and get a second contract and get a third contract. Heck, and Anquan Boldin, probably a fourth or a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I need to do. That's how I need to equip myself. And he really has been terrific. And then on the field, I think Matthew Stafford very, very quickly realized that's a guy that he's got a great deal of trust in. And if he looks out there and sees that he's one-on-one with a corner, he knows that Anquan knows how to body him up and get some space. He's got a great catching radius. He's got terrific hands. So on third down and in the red zone as well, he has been a big part of what this team has done. But, you know, I think it was an under-the-radar signing. I think a lot of people kind of looked at it and said, what's he got left at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact is, he's still got – he's not what he was, but what he is now is really good.
Yeah. Defense is also playing well. Kerry Hyder, Tahir Whitehead. Matt Prater has been really solid for you guys. I'd be remiss not to at least mention that before we go, Dan. But remaining schedule for the Lions – at the Giants, at Dallas, and at home against Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken. What's the key to a strong finish for your team?
Well, I mean, the defense has to continue to do what they've been doing. Seven straight games, they have not allowed more than 20 points. And in this league, that's winning football. And
yep.
I don't know that we flash defensively the way that Minnesota does, but it's been efficient. And they've done a nice job. And they've got to continue to do that because – you know, this has not been a dominant, overpowering football team. It's been an efficient football team. And it's been a team where the defense isn't giving up many points, which is, at the end of the day, the object of the exercise, and the offense is scoring enough to win. Hasn't been an overpowering offense by any means. But, again, everybody is just doing their job. And, as I said earlier, doesn't leave you a lot of room for error. And if you're looking at these last – let me take the two games on the road. I mean, they're – recipe for winning is what you need to do on the road in this league. Can't turn the ball over, number one. It's the biggest indicator of winning and losing in the league. They don't turn the ball very often, as you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. They've got to continue to do that. And then, you know, they've got to find a way to get the offense in gear, scoring a little bit more, I think, than they have. I still think there's upside in this offense, and I think there has to be improvement in this offense down the stretch. And then the kind of the safety net. And the last, at a minimum, worst-case scenario, Lions are playing Green Bay probably for the division title, either to beat out Minnesota or to beat out Green Bay in that final game if they lose the next two. That's, if you look at it in the landscape, boy, you don't want it to come to that.
Mm-hmm.
But they put themselves in a position where that can happen, and obviously that'll depend on what happens this week and then what happens between Minnesota and Green Bay next week.
Yep, going to be a lot of fun. Lots of football still to be played. Margin for error very slim for the Vikings, thanks in large part to how well the Lions are playing. Dan, this is Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings radio show. It's his show. I'm filling in for him. I'm grateful for you taking a few minutes to chat with us here today.
Well, I appreciate that, and I got great respect for Paul, and I listen to him and what he does, and he's amazing as well. So anything – that means a lot. I appreciate you saying that from you and from him. So anytime, I'm glad to do it, and appreciate you saying that.
Okay, Dan. Good luck the rest of the way, all right?
Cool. Thanks, man.
Vikings player we should be talking more about.
Yeah.
We've been talking about him quite a bit, actually, this season, especially compared to previous seasons. But Adam Thielen has played really, really well for the Vikings.
He has. And with Thielen and Diggs, I know maybe some of you listening may shake your head at me or scoff at this.
If you went back 2 years and someone heard you say that,
right,
they'd be like, who are both of these people?
Right. They would. You're right. And now they're big-time players for us.
Yeah.
And I this comparison I'm going to make, I know it's lofty, but just listen to this. You know, Adam Thielen is 42 receiving yards shy of giving the Vikings their first receiving duo to both amass 800 yards in the same year, because Diggs has already done it. So Thielen is 42 yards away from doing it. That duo, Randy Moss and Chris Carter. That's the last duo to both have 800 yards.
I heard it here, folks.
I'm not saying they're Moss and Carter. I'm just telling you, no one has done that since Moss and Carter, and Thielen and Diggs are about to do it. Now, Thielen got a little explosive on us last week against the Jags. Looking at the 10 longest plays from scrimmage for the Vikings. Number 3, Adam Thielen, 41 yards. Number 4, Adam Thielen, 26 yards. Number 5, Adam Thielen, 23 yards. So Adam Thielen getting his explosion on last week in Jacksonville. He's gotten explosive inside U.S. Bank Stadium. Had a long touchdown against the Houston Texans. Don't be surprised if he's got another big game against the Colts on Sunday. Also, Stephon Diggs is approaching 1,000 receiving yards. We haven't had one of those since 09 when Sidney Rice did it. So Diggs and Thielen getting the job done. The player you should be talking about, though, is Adam Thielen, because he's stepping up big time for your favorite team.
Three threats for the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to start with the player that probably has never made one of the three threats at a position that's never been one of the three threats, and that's Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah.
Adam Vinatieri, the kicker for the Indianapolis Colts. Seems like he's been playing for 40 years, maybe just shy of that, but it's been a while. And he is
solid.
Yeah, he's really good.
He never misses, basically. Just, I know he has missed, but in your mind, just think of Adam Vinatieri as having never missed, because it's basically what it's like, especially if the kick matters. He's had game-winning kicks in a Super Bowl. He's had game-winning kicks in the postseason more than we can count, probably. And Adam Vinatieri is solid. If you remember, Matt Prater daggered us at U.S. Bank Stadium. Adam Vinatieri has that same capability, so let's not have this be a close game. Let's pull away from these Colts in the fourth quarter so it doesn't come down to a field goal type of game, because if it does, Adam Vinatieri is a huge guy to have on your side.
Second threat is T.Y. Hilton. You mentioned Dante Moncrief may or may not be active. He's been banged up this week. But one guy we know we're going to have to look out for is number 13, T.Y. Hilton.
Looking at T.Y. the last 2 weeks, 23 targets in the last two games, 18 receptions. Very high percentage, very productive. Is good on third downs, is good in the slot, is going to be a tough matchup for the Vikings this week. Of course, we feel really good about Xavier Rhodes, but the thing about T.Y. is he can play in the slot, and that means Captain's going to be on him. And we feel good about Captain as well, but T.Y. is good. And T.Y. is one of those, like, if you're thinking about it from a fantasy perspective, T.Y. is a guy you never bench. That's how good he is. And he's going against Mike Zimmer's defense this week, and Mike Zimmer has been shutting down number one receivers in the NFL this year. But if I had T.Y. on my team, I would still play him, and that's not a shot at Zimmer or the Vikings defense. I'm just giving T.Y. a lot of credit. Luck goes to him all the time, and T.Y. Hilton is very good. He's very fast. He's good after the catch. He can run vertical routes. He can run routes underneath. He can run stop routes. So look out for T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton being thrown passes too by Andrew Luck, as you mentioned. Both guys, Mike Zimmer and George Edwards, were very complimentary of in their press conferences this week. So you got to think that Zimmer and Edwards are thinking these guys are important guys to stop. So how can we stop Andrew Luck?
You have to hit him and pressure him and hit him and bring him to the ground and tell him right away this is going to be a long day. And he can make every throw in the book. He can scramble and buy time, and he can pick up yards with his legs. Our leading rusher has like 380 yards. Andrew Luck has 300 yards rushing this year. So, I mean, he will run with the ball. He will scramble to buy time, and it makes it really hard to defend this passing attack when Andrew Luck breaks the pocket, runs horizontally to buy time, and T.Y. Hilton changes directions on your corner, who had good coverage up until that point, but then you get the scramble drill going on and T.Y. breaks open. So we have to rush Luck smartly, stay in your lanes, keep contain, and when you have the chance, you got to hit Luck and let him know it's going to be a long day. If the Vikings don't pressure Luck, it could be a long day in the secondary.
Could be a long day if you're waiting outside for the game.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. I know there's one Skyway at least connected to U.S. Bank Stadium. So
it's going
to
be used.
Vikings fans, use that wisely. It's a, I assume it's a skyway that's connected all the way through downtown.
Basically,
I'm a St. Paul guy, so I don't know. I'm not as familiar with the Minneapolis skyways, but I would think that's how they work.
If you're going to the game, go early and use the skyways. Go early because when you arrive at US Bank Stadium 2 hours before the game, there's lots of stuff to do. You have the Vikings Voyage. You can go down and sit in your seats and watch players warm up. You can eat some food. You can go to a locker room store. You can hang out by the largest pivoting glass doors in the world. There's art exhibits in US Bank Stadium. There is so much cool stuff to do there. So if you're going to the game on Sunday, stay warm, arrive early, and enjoy yourself inside US Bank Stadium.
Enjoy yourself knowing that your rivals in the NFC North are freezing their butts off in Chicago.
Yeah, crowd hating it. And you will be in the reverse snow globe that is US Bank Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Fast show, but a good show. Lots of stuff in there, Nate. The sound from Bob Papa and Dan Miller is pretty cool. Vikings fans don't always get to hear that, but enjoyed talking with them about NFC playoff contention. And hopefully we're still talking about that 1 week from now as we're getting ready to play the Packers on Christmas Eve day. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This edition of the Wobcast is over. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and make sure you come back to Vikings.com to take in a bunch of cool content, including next week's Wobcast, as we get ready for the Packers. See you, everyone.
So, yeah, I start with